This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Now after the wise men had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He was called a Nazarene. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. My dearest siblings, grace and peace to you from God, our holy Creator, in whom we live and move and have our being. Amen. Christmas is, I think for most people, always a time of joy and pleasantries, of comfort, of gathering with family, of immersing ourselves in traditions that are fulfilling, you know, that just kind of give you that sense of magic, I would say. When I think about Christmas Eve and all of the traditions that come around that, I really just think of the word positivity. Christmas just feels like a positive time, something that really fills us up. We come to church, we hear a message of God's love for all of humanity in Christ, this message of God manifesting the divine in humanity, God connecting God's self to the human experience, and it's just full of love, and it makes us feel good. But honestly, I think the implications of what the Christmas story is become known to us more today. Today is kind of the opposite of the joyful Christmas story. It's kind of the opposite of that joyful feeling of knowing that Christ is in this world for all of us, because today we hear about Christ's birth being connected to the massacre of 2 year olds and under in Judea by King Herod. I know we had a lot of guests today, probably not the message you were looking for when you decided to venture into our church and through our doors, I'm sorry. But I think it's a poignant one nonetheless. In explicit terms, today's story is the story of Jesus becoming a refugee. Today is the story of God's incarnation in this world being immediately connected to the most vulnerable in all of society. Children. We have this revised common lectionary, so our texts are, in a way, pre-chosen. It's the same text, and it goes on a 3-year cycle. The first Sunday after Christmas Eve, when we are in this year, when we reach the Gospel of Matthew, it's always this reading, the story of Herod putting a hit out on Jesus' life, Jesus and Joseph and Mary escaping to Egypt, and Herod sending out his soldiers to kill children. It's not something that I choose ahead of time. And it's one of those sermons where, you know, the message just seems so obvious. I don't like these kinds of readings. I don't like preaching on them. I don't like having the reading come out and then people can say to themselves, well, we know what Pastor Chris is going to talk about today. And at the same time, we need to hear it. This is a story of Jesus Christ, God the human being, God connected to the human experience as a refugee. And we need to hear that with the crisis that we are facing in our country with refugees fleeing from Latin America, trying to seek refuge. What makes this so uncomfortable for me is how everything has been politicized in our nation today. We have taken, I feel, almost any kind of a Christian message of Christian discipleship, and in one way we have politicized it. We have said this one belongs on the left side and this one belongs on the right side. And if you talk about it, you're either a Republican or a Democrat. And then we have to make up our minds to say, well, I'm a Republican, so I don't like that Democrat message that's coming from the pulpit. Or I'm a Democrat and I don't like that Republican message that's coming from the pulpit today. I've received criticisms as a pastor, and they've always been in love, but the criticism has been, you talk too much about politics. Partly that's difficult for me. I've got a bachelor's degree in political science. But honestly, I think the real problem is that we have taken so much of what it is to be a follower of Jesus and then turned it into politics. We've put it on the political spectrum. We've compartmentalized it and say it's this ideology or it's that ideology. And then it allows us to condemn the things that we as Christians are called to advocate for. Care for the foreigners, the immigrants, and the refugees is mentioned at least 30 different times in the Bible. That is astounding. When we hear that people are fleeing to our country to escape persecution of one side or another, I understand that we need to have that conversation of whether or not we can support this as a country fiscally. But for us as Christians, our hearts should be on fire and we should be there in that conversation saying, wait a minute, something about our faith has to compel us to speak up. Something about our faith has to look at the story of Jesus and his family fleeing to Egypt and say there's some powerful connection to that story and what's happening with any refugees who come to our shores. This just came to, this just came out recently over the last few years, but apparently Anne Frank's father sought asylum in this country 4 different times. And 4 different times he was denied. And we know how that story ends. This isn't a problem that's going on right now. It's a problem that's been present for a long time. And I think the question is, as we have that conversation of whether or not we can afford it, what does our faith as Christians compel us to do? Now, I talk about this stuff a lot. I know I do. I know I'm preaching to the choir. I knew that when we read this text that most of you would say, well, I know where this is going to go today. And I'm trying to kind of step ahead of you a little bit and say, I know that you know where I'm going. I don't think I need to talk about trying to change our hearts today. I don't think I need to try to compel any of us to see God present in people who are fleeing persecution and coming to our shores, and how we as a society and as Christians can take care of them. But the problem is that this text can't be ignored within the context of our greater society. One of the things I do, probably because I'm a millennial, I spend a lot of time on Twitter. I spend a lot of time looking at what other people are saying about the events that are happening within our society. One thing that's taking place this Christmas season that I feel hasn't taken place in previous Christian Christmas seasons that I've noticed is that people are trying to connect Jesus and his family fleeing to Egypt with refugees that are seeking solace from the south. And it's happening on a political stage. And what I'm seeing this year is a lot of people trying to make up excuses as to why we shouldn't be doing that in the first place. I've seen a lot of people saying, well, Jesus wasn't born a refugee. When Jesus was born, his family was traveling for the census. They were in Judea. They were in Bethlehem. They were in their own region. So Jesus wasn't born a refugee, so we really can't connect his birth to the plight of other refugees. And then when others have brought up, well, you know, when he was like 2 or 3 years old, his family fled to Egypt for their lives, fleeing from persecution, fleeing to another region. I mean, you know, that kind of makes them refugees, doesn't it? And then other people coming and saying, well, Egypt was part of the greater Roman Empire, so you're not a refugee if you flee to another region that's really part of the nation state that you live in, so no, you can't call Jesus a refugee. And it's almost this bending over backwards in trying to disconnect this story with things that are happening in our country. And again, it's because we have politicized everything. We have compartmentalized everything to the point that it's difficult to see what our faith is calling us to. But we in this church, we have a benefit. We have a benefit because, one, I talk about this stuff all the time. I'm sorry. But we also have a benefit because this is naturally part of our faith. It is naturally a part of our faith as Bethania Lutheran Church to connect our call as Christians to the least of these, right here in our own community, with the community we support in Santa Maria, Iglesia Luterana Santa Cruz, with people in the world. Back in the 90s, I just learned this, this church supported a refugee family. This church compiled its resources and got an apartment for refugees fleeing from the East, from persecution. And we paid to care for those people. This is a part of who we are. It's a part of who we've been for a long time. So the sermon isn't so much about how do we in this room change our hearts and minds. How do we discover our faith in this story? Because I think we have it. Rather, I think for us today, it's how do we live our faith in such a way that we can help others to see this too? How can we live our faith in such a way that people can rise above the politicization? I don't know if that's a word or not, but I said it. How can people rise above that and see their faith too? How can we do this in a way where it doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat? It doesn't matter what's happening on the national stage. It doesn't matter how things have been compartmentalized. It doesn't matter how ideology has come and contaminated things to such an extent. But how can we live our faith so authentically that others can see it too and say, the politics don't matter in this instance? What matters is that we are followers of Jesus called to care for the least of these, and there is a need that is happening right now, and by God, we're going to answer the call. For me, I think really there's two ways that we do this. Both of them are as equally powerful. The first is that we continue to tell these stories. That every time we talk about Jesus' birth, we also tell the story about how Jesus and his family had to flee to Egypt. We talk about the stories of where Jesus calls us to care for the least of these, where Jesus says, whoever wants to be the greatest must be a servant to all. Where Jesus says, let the children come to me. We keep telling these stories where Christ in this world is intentionally connecting God to the human experience, but most especially to those who are most vulnerable. And then the second is we just live it. We live our faith by caring for the vulnerable. And we do that at this church. We do that in such wonderful ways. but maybe we need to do it more loudly. We live our faith by advocating for justice and saying that that's not a part of our politics, it's a part of our call as Christians. We live our faith by being good news to the poor and release to the captives. And we do all of this because we look at folks who are vulnerable or marginalized or oppressed or beaten and broken and say right there in that person is Jesus Christ himself. Because honestly, if we can't help others see Christ in the most vulnerable, then we will never help others see Christ in themselves. Amen. Please stand as you are able. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.